Outdoors coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun, our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing, and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at wfhb.org.
Good morning and welcome to Inside Outdoors with old Buddy Bill. By golly, and he's got a whole crew here this morning. There's Don. See Don.
There's Don Jordan here.
Yeah. And then there's Alan there.
Hey guys, Alan Bronnenberg. Hope you're all well today.
And then we got Rich up here in the corner.
I'm here, and we're all here via Zoom, like usual.
Like usual, yeah.
I want to say a belated happy Groundhog Day to you guys.
Yeah, and the rascal, he's seen his shadow.
Yeah.
And that's awful.
Well, I kind of expected that, but.
Well, if I was a betting, I would have bet he would have seen it.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, that's my favorite holiday of the year, and I've been up partying all night long. Went to bed about 6 a.m. So.
Yeah, that's your favorite. Boy, you've celebrated that for, I know, years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we even talked to the old boy over there.
That's Texatani, right.
Texatani or whoever he was.
Oh, wow.
Remember when we talked to him?
Yeah, Butch Philibert. He was.
Is that who it was?
He was the weatherman. Uh-oh,
yeah,
we had
him on the radio several years ago.
Yeah, they. He's one of the guys with the dress up in the suits with the top hats and everything. That was pretty fun talking to him.
Wonder where Don went.
I don't know. He might have had a. He had a little issue with his internet last week, so it might come.
Oh, boy.
Might be happening again. We'll see.
Mercy. But anyway, we're going to have 6 weeks of winter. It doesn't matter where he saw it or not.
Yeah.
If you count it up, why?
It sure looks like the winter's starting on Sunday in earnest.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's February. Well, it's that time of year. Tomorrow it's going to be, because we are taping this, but we're live today on Saturday, or not live, we're taped today on Saturday, and tomorrow it's supposed to get kind of cold.
Yeah, I dread to see that, and then Monday then it's supposed to be, what is it, 9 above for the high or something like that?
I think that's the evening. I'm seeing 20s and 10s, but
Monday morning or Monday?
Well, let me look again. It changes every day. You know how it.
Oh, yeah. They Well, Monday is when I have to go get my second virus shot.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's good. You're getting a second one.
We will go, whether it's zero or 30 above, we will be there.
Good for you. Are you going to the hospital or are you going somewhere else, Bill?
Well, we're going over there by the hospital there that on First Street.
Building? Yeah.
Yeah. And all of them, gosh, we took the first one, the 15th of January, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all real nice over there. I mean, you couldn't ask for better people in there to go into, and nurses and ones giving the shots, and they're all just as nice and helpful as can be. And
You bet. And you know, they've got it down pretty slick over there. You walk in. I didn't have to wait at all. They gave me the shot, sent me back for my 20-minute wait, and I saw a couple people in there I know. And then I left.
Yeah, that's about the way we operated too, because, yep. Have you got your second one yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you've already got your second one.
Yeah. I'm healthcare worker, so you know I'm in contact with, you know, inpatients. You know, every weekend when I work. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I got mine first, and you know, I was a little drowsier, you know, for a day after my second one, but I didn't have any trouble at all. The first one kind of hurt a little bit for a few days. It did not after the second one, but most of that day and part of the other day, I was napping quite a bit. But the day after that, I snapped back. I didn't have any trouble at all.
Well, me and Clarence both took them the same time, and they didn't bother us at all. My arm didn't even get sore.
Oh, wow.
It was a little touchy there, you know, but nothing to hurt or anything like that.
Oh, that's great news.
So I don't know how the second one, I've heard the same story you just told on the second one, kind of made them a little groggy and a little lazy, you might say.
Yeah.
If it does, it does, because I'm going to take it anyway.
Yeah, no, it's you'll be glad you did, Bill.
Oh, I can't hardly wait till Monday, boy. I tell you, I don't understand why these people that don't want them and afraid of them. I talked to a guy, and we all know him, and I won't mention his name, and he said, I'm not taking it. I said, you ain't taking it. And he's 80 years old.
Oh, boy.
And I said, I took mine. I said, I didn't even know nothing more than a penicillin shot or something. And I said, never did hurt or anything. And, oh, no, he said, off. He said, I'm going to the doctor in about 6 to 8 weeks for my physical. And he said, if he tells me to take it, I might take it. And I thought, boy, where in the world you at? You know,
all you got to do is call the office and the doctor will tell him over the phone right now to take it.
Yeah. In fact, Clarence can't take shots or some of them. And we called before I made the appointment on the first one, called our doctor, and he said, do it.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go to him. He'll tell you whether to take it or not. We're real sure. Quick. So anyway, you know, I don't understand these people that don't want to take it, but that's their prerogative. If they don't want to, why? Have you got yours yet, Don?
I got my first one about 2 weeks ago. I got it next week, my second one. I got mine at the VA. I couldn't get in Bloomington until March.
I was on the phone for probably an hour or better.
We spent hours trying to get Joe spent hours trying to get her first shot, because she's not 70 yet. And when they opened that up on Monday morning, she started calling everybody, counties all around us, and finally got one over in Seymour for this Saturday, which was, so we'll have a nice drive down through across Lake Monroe down to Heltonville, Damon Bailey's hometown. Maybe we'll see Damon. I'll say hi to him.
Yeah, holler at him as you go through.
Then we go through Freetown and Brownstown, of course, down that way, and come in on the southwest side of Seymour.
What do you see more of?
I'm not sure.
I just wondered. You said you've seen more.
There's an old joke about that, but I can't tell it.
Well, no, we're not going to go into that.
So anyway, shots are coming, and I have a daughter-in-law who works here at Catalent making the Moderna vaccine, and that's what I ended up getting up in Indianapolis at the VA, and as good as any of them, I expect, maybe better than some, but who knows? They probably all about.
I got Pfizer.
Pfizer. Well, they're supposed to be in the same.
Not that it makes any difference. That's what they had, and that's what I got.
I saw something about the AstraZeneca.
Right.
That supposedly it has better quality of protection or something. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah, you know, the thing about those studies is, you know, AstraZeneca started after Pfizer and Moderna both did, so they're knowledgeable enough now to test for things that the other vaccines just didn't test for. They were more concerned about getting them put together and getting the basics out. And a lot of this just has to do with how they crunch those numbers. So it's going to be, I'd say there's not, you know, a nickel's worth of difference between any of them when you get right down to it. The numbers may be a little different. They may qualify their endpoints in their studies a little bit differently, but in the end, they're going to show that they've got all about the same kind of properties because they're basically made the same way.
Yeah.
Well, they'll all get better as they go. I mean, we all know that. They'll keep improving them and improving them. And I don't know, they're talking about a booster shot now after we get these two. I heard that on the news that they was talking about a booster shot, or may have to give a booster shot. I'll put it that way. So we'll have to wait.
I think that booster shot's a given. The way this thing's mutating and the way it's changing, the way we know viruses do, this is a nasty little virus. It really is, and it probably is going to be with us for a little while. So they are going to need to have boosters to give you a shot of the extra strains and the extra mutants that come up from all over the world. So
right.
Yeah, once this thing gets tamped down a little bit, those mutants will slow up. So, but I think for the next couple of years, you're probably looking at getting a shot of some kind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And maybe even longer.
Maybe longer.
Yeah. Hey, Don.
Yo.
Get that fish. I just seen it jump behind you.
That's that alligator.
Oh, is that? Oh, there. He just jumped up. Boy, that's a pretty good size alligator.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's after me.
Ugly sucker, too.
Yeah, he's after me. Ah!
Hey, well, let me give the normal information of lake level, which is up to 539.30, and probably because some of that rain we've been having, I would guess. And I finally got a temperature of 33 degrees, so it's awfully cold.
More like it.
Yeah, it's awfully cold. And
no ice fishing, folks.
Alan said he saw some ice, so.
But it's
some of the little ponds.
It's not thick enough.
No,
not at all.
Stay off of the ice.
Unless you got an ice boat.
Yeah, if you got a boat, then a boat, why?
Yeah, that's right. I'd say old Danny Wagner's probably been out there.
And like Don was saying, or Bill was saying, we're going to be having some colder weather, but we're looking at... Let me see. I'm looking at the forecast here. Sunday it gets down to about 20 degrees, low of 8. And it's basically going to stay right in the low 20s most of the week. And then with a little colder day on Wednesday. But we're getting that blast. But you know what? I can handle 20 a lot better than minus 10 or whatever sometimes we get in February. So not too bad.
Well, that big storm about 4 or 5 days ago was setting out in Montana, and it was only 5 degrees there. I say only because, you know, they could easily have 20 below.
Absolutely.
So 5 degrees isn't too bad coming our way.
Yeah, we talked to one of Clarice's professors that moved out there from IU. He was at IU, and he moved out there, and Deer Lodge is where he's at, and it was one above.
That's still not too bad.
No, it's not. If you say it real quick, it's not bad at all. above.
Not for them. My old hometown of Superior, Wisconsin has been fairly decent this year, although they've had a ton of snow.
Yeah.
We're talking, you know, feet of snow, several feet.
I know I've told this story before, and we've hunted out there for several years. There was three or four of us that always went, and we hunted for several years. And I know one year we went out there and got up that morning, and there was 18 inches of snow, and it was still snowing. we went up to the restaurant to get something to eat before we headed to the mountain. And I got to talking to some of them ranchers in there, the old timers that was there. I always like to talk to them to get educated, you know, on the area and stuff. And I said to this one, I said, boy, you had a pretty good snow last night, didn't you? And oh, he said, Sonny, he said, that's just a little skiff.
Yeah, that's so, right.
And they thought 8.5 feet is a little skiff to them.
I've been telling Joe about some of the horrendous events of weather in Superior during the years I lived there.
Yeah, they've had some.
I'll tell you, on Halloween Day of, I guess that was 1990, we got 5 feet of snow.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow. I had a little Ranger, Ford Ranger truck then. And when I finally dug out the garage, you know, and got out onto the road, the snow was up to its hood, the top of its hood.
Oh, my God.
And I just put it in four-wheel, and, man, it just motivated right out through that, just like a snowplow.
Wow.
And drove into the local tavern to get a beer.
A tavern.
There you go.
Well, that's the only place to go when it's like that, you know?
Well, they got taverns, about ever.
Tavern's always clear.
Well, there's always cars in the lot.
Yep.
Yeah, they've got taverns ever block, so you really don't have to go far.
Well, they say every crossroads out in the county has got four taverns.
Well, that's true.
And sometimes a gas station.
One on every corner.
Yeah. Well, they're social places for the people that live up there. It's that old German tradition. And, you know, they it's where the local bulletin board is. If you want to post it, you got something for sale. If you want to get the news of what's going on, yeah, going down at the community center, yeah, that's where you go. Because there's no place else.
In Montana and Wyoming and out in there, they're about the same way. They've got taverns out in the middle of nowhere. And...
Well, they're the social glue out there. That's everybody goes there, no matter whether you're there to drink or just talk or play games. You know, the bars that I frequented all had a cribbage league, and then they had a dart league, and they had a pool league, a bowling league, and softball in the summertime.
And a fighting league.
And a fight.
Didn't see too much of that, but yeah, there was some of that around. There was.
I flew into Grand Haven one time and got a rental car and drove up to Crystal Mountain up in Michigan on that west side over there. And about every few miles on that highway up there, you'll have a sign that says deer feeding station, carrots, corn, cold beer. And it's just, you know, every few miles, and they're taverns, but they sell stuff to lure deer with for deer hunters up there. And one time I got so used to seeing those, and all of a sudden I saw one that said carrots, corn, cold beer, and piano tuning. And I thought, okay, well, that's a little odd. So I turned around, stopped the car. I had to go back and see what it was. So I went in there, and of course I noticed I had a sport coat and a tie on. So I peeked the door open, saw that the sport coat and the tie probably was not going to fly in there. Took it off, went back in there, just had a great time with the locals along the way there. Nobody said anything about piano tuning while I was there, but it was available if you wanted it.
Piano tuning available. Well, I see my favorite bar has sign that said, it was the Yellow River Bait Shop, and it said, come on in, beer and worms.
Beer and worms, there you go.
Yeah.
Beer and worms. Yes,
just
sir.
Like peanut butter and jelly, you know, yeah, they go together.
Yeah. That's right. Well, yeah, you know, one thing that's a dead giveaway on how much snow you get in a town that you might be passing through, if you look at the houses along the streets that you pass, if the first window is more than 6 feet above the ground, you know that they get a lot of snow. And many times my house in Superior, the snow would be up to and sometimes a little above that window that was 6 feet high off the ground.
Wow.
And you had to wait for the snow plows and then they get the front end loaders and pile it all up in the middle of the street, and then scoop it into dump trucks and take it off to the snow dump. So there was just no place to put it in town, so you had to haul it down to Lake Superior, dump it down there. I bet there was some salt in that stuff.
I bet there was.
Anyway, I'm so glad that I don't live there anymore. I loved it up there, and it's a beautiful place in the summer, but those winters are just beyond anything that I've ever experienced.
Well, speaking of that, I've got some info from the horse's mouth. I got some friends back in my hometown in Pennsylvania, which just happens to be one of the worst spots for this last storm. Apparently, it went up through Ohio. It missed us, really. What did we get, an inch or so?
Yeah, it hit northern Indiana.
Maybe two. And then, but in my hometown of Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, there was 30 inches.
30 inches.
Yeah, and then just south of there in Washington or Maryland, where my daughter lives, she only got like 3. So apparently that band went straight up into New England, and they got some bad weather up towards Maine too, you know, all up through that area. But Pennsylvania seemed to get the worst of it, and maybe a little bit of New York.
When I was in the Army, I was assigned at Camp Drum, New York, there for a little while, which is up by the Finger Lakes, mm-hmm. New York. And we got 7 feet overnight. We had those old wooden army barracks, and you could just hear the roofs creaking on it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know? That was, they sent us all up there to learn how to ski so we could go to Southeast Asia and walk through swamps.
Right.
You know? There you go.
Nothing like a little acclimation.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what about your favorite holiday, Rich? I know that you only celebrate Groundhog Day.
Right.
So what did you discover this year? Uh-oh, I lost you.
No sound, Rich.
Can't hear you, Rich.
Yeah, we lost your sound.
Hello.
Yeah, there you are.
You're back.
6 a.m. I quit partying, had all-nighter. Yep, there's Buddy. He's agreeing with me.
You partied until 6 a.m.?
Oh, yeah. We went to bed a little early. Usually we're up all night on Groundhog's Day, but that's the party we have, you know. Once a year it comes.
Shoot the guns off?
Guns going off all night long.
Yeah. You know.
Fireworks, yeah. Sparklers.
Where was you at when all this was happening? Harrisburg, Indiana.
Yeah, and we went down to the lake and looked for some groundhogs. Didn't find any, but we had a good time anyway.
Well, I think I told you I had some Groundhog Day trivia.
Well, please, I love anything to do with Groundhog Day, so go ahead.
This is trivia from the movie, which yesterday showed all day long on one channel. I don't know what it was, but it was Groundhog Day, Groundhog Day, Groundhog Day, You've seen that movie, I know.
Oh, we watched that as well.
All right. I love that movie, yeah. Some people just watched it once and didn't really get the full impact of it. You know, I mean, it's... tidbits of trivia about Groundhog Day, the movie. Bill Murray, who was the star of the show, I suppose, the groundhog, they raised a family of groundhogs to use in this movie. So they had numerous stand-ins, and they had one, and you remember the scene where Bill is going to drive off the cliff into the gravel pit in his pickup truck that he stole? Well, in that scene, he had the groundhog on his lap, and they were trying to get it to be in the shot. Well, the groundhog got real nervous as they were driving and climbed up on the steering wheel trying to escape and bit Bill Murray on the hand. And he had to go to the hospital afterwards and have stitches. And actually got bit twice at different times, but then he had to get a rabies shot.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man.
For that. And so that was his interaction with the groundhog. I don't believe he was too fond of that.
But no.
Another really good bit of trivia. There's hundreds of them, but several people sat down and different, you know, entities, research groups and whatnot for something to do when they're off time, and tried to figure out how long Bill Murray was actually in Groundhog's Day. And, you know, the time is compressed in the movie, as you can tell, you know, they go from day to day. So the general estimate was that it was over 12,000 days that he was stuck in Groundhog's Day, which around 30 to 34 years that he was stuck in Punxsutawney.
Wow.
And so, you know, to learn how to play the piano and become an expert at it, as he, you know, so allegedly did, and to learn everybody's name in town, et cetera, et cetera, would have taken him that long. Well, some people would have they might never have learned how to play the piano. And let's see, the show itself was not shot in Punxsutawney. It was shot in Illinois, in Waterford or water something, Illinois. Hmm. And the town there was left out in all of the hoopla for the movie. So they put up a sign on the street, you know, the street where Ned, the insurance salesman, comes walking around the corner. And that's also where Bill Murray stepped off the street into the hole and the mud puddle, you know, got up
right.
His leg. They have taken a sign and put it on the sidewalk there with an arrow pointing down to the hole, which they preserved, and says, "This is where Bill Murray stepped in the water in Groundhog Day." Okay, so they memorialized that. And they've named that corner Ned's Corner after the insurance salesman.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know, just there, it just goes on and on, but
sure.
I ought to post that somewhere. I'll post that on the Inside Outdoors Facebook, just so you can all see the lengths to which the people go when it comes to trivia on this movie. I had no idea.
I suspect there are probably people come from miles around to have their picture taken standing in that hole too.
I bet there is. And well, in any case, that's my levity for the day.
I like it.
You got any more trivia about Groundhog Day, the Rich?
Well, it's just a great movie. I love the part where he starts eating everything in the cafe, where he just keeps ordering all this high cholesterol stuff. That's one of my favorite parts.
Well, yeah, he tells somebody he'd been electrocuted, drowned, shot, pushed off a cliff, etc. He'd died so many different ways. No, of course they didn't believe him.
Right.
It was okay. How about this one? Harold Ramis, the director, makes a cameo in the film as the neurologist that assures Phil, that's Bill Murray, that he is okay, but he should probably see a psychiatrist. Which is probably true in life, real life anyway. In the filming of Kidnapping Phil scene, that's the one where he takes him in the truck, Bill Murray spontaneously improvised the line, "Don't drive angry, don't drive angry," to cover the fact that the groundhog, which he was holding in his lap, was agitated and trying to escape by climbing over the steering wheel. A moment later, the groundhog bit Murray's hand so badly he had to seek medical treatment and get a rabies shot. Okay, since the film's release, Punxsutawney has become a major tourist attraction. The film has been rated as one of the top 10 comedy films of all time, as being being preserved by the National Film Registry. It's that important of a film. I got to say, it's a pretty good film. Okay, in order to get the scenes to look alike, many different takes were filmed in different weather conditions. Actually, the director chose the bleak Wisconsin look for the film so that it was overcast all the time, you know?
Yep. Right.
And
the bleak Wisconsin look. Is that a meteorological term?
Well, it's bleak up there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, about this time of year, it's pretty damn bleak.
Yep.
Phil at the piano teacher's house. You remember that scene where he goes to learn to play the piano?
Right. Sure.
He's playing fumblingly. Well, that's a tough one. Playing Sergei Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme by Paganini is actually Bill Murray playing. He does not read music, but he learned that much of the song by ear. Hmm. The same Rhapsody, specifically its 18th variation, was also used in another fantasy movie called Somewhere in Time. Aren't you glad you know that now?
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
How much more do you want to know?
Well, I mean, you know, the only musical instrument I can play is the radio. So,
Yeah, right. You know,
I understand. About the extent of it for me.
Yes, I do understand. Inspiration moments in the creation of the story came after reading Interview with a Vampire, which got the director thinking about what it would be like to live forever. So there you go. Oh, and in the original script, like, I'm not reading this one. I remember this from going into this before. The original script had Phil or Bill Murray being cursed by his girlfriend that he did bad to have to repeat his life every day. And they decided to leave that out of the movie because it was more magical that it just happened to him instead of being cursed to do this for the rest of his life. So that's an interesting little item. The interiors of Bill Murray's room at the bed and breakfast were filmed in an empty warehouse in Cary, Illinois. How about that? Do you know what Rita's favorite drink is? That's Andy McDowell. That's sweet vermouth.
In real life or in the movie?
In the movie.
Yeah.
We're in Groundhog Day world here right now.
Yeah.
The French poem Phil recites in the German restaurant is quoted from the 1957 Jacques Brel song La Bourrée du Célébrataire, or Bachelor's Dance. I'm not going to try to read it to you in French. The translation, the girl that I will love will be like a fine wine that will later become a bit better every morning. So there you go. That's about the end. I can't take it anymore.
You need to remember that for at least your anniversary every year. That's an excellent little line, by the way.
I think it's I think it should be done in French.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I can probably manage that, but it'll be some memorization problems. I don't know how those connections are up in that that area.
Well, I know for me, they're not there.
Yeah, they are diminishing.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of vermouth, I used to have an alcoholic. I guess he was a bachelor uncle of mine. We were at a bar, and we used to always go to the shore in New Jersey at the ocean, and we were at this little bar there, and he ordered a martini, and the guy said, well, do you want vermouth in it? And he said, yeah, and he said, take the bottle down. He said, take the bottle cap, rub it on your elbow, and just wave it over the drink. That's enough.
Just whisper whisper vermouth over the gin.
Yes.
Yeah. When I get a martini, I just want to know that you own a bottle of vermouth. I don't actually want you to use any of it.
Exactly.
Martinis. They'll do it to you. That's for sure. I'm more of a gin and tonic guy myself, but martinis.
Well, you learn your limits when you live in New York. and drink martinis, because when they serve you martini in New York, it's a martini. It's a fishbowl sized glass of vodka that is, you know, there's a meniscus on the top. Your average high quality professional New York bartender can put a dome on the top of your martini glass that like you've never seen. I mean, you really need to bend over and suck the top of it off, because you can't pick it up without spilling it after that. But if you can drink two of those and get back to work at lunchtime, my hat's off to you.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I meant my demise with tequila, serving the same function as the vodka gin, you know. And they used to drink these things called tequila slammers. I don't know if you've ever heard of those or not, but you put a little glass, you know what a snit of beer glass is, you know, a small beer glass. And you fill that half up with vodka and put some charged water in it. Then you put your hand over the top of it and bang it on the towel on the bar. You bang it, and it goes fizzes up, and you drink it while you're doing that. And just laugh yourself to death.
There and you go.
Later that night, you're at the porcelain god.
Yes, you are. You become a fountain.
That's right. Drinking stories. That's a new feature of Inside Outdoors, I guess.
Oh, boy. That could be a lifelong
segment. Oh, man.
Well, sometimes you need it. Bill, you used to talk about your this time of year, the snow snakes have come out, and you need to have a little medicine for that, right?
Snow snakes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I want to hear about this.
Oh, they're dangerous.
Yes, they are.
And down there around where you live?
Yeah.
You want to watch, because there's a lot of them down in there.
I will watch now.
Yeah. I always keep a big bottle of Jack Daniels around just in case.
Yeah, old Jack.
I got it. God, I learned something every time we do this, guys. I'm just thank God.
You never knew about snow snakes all the years you lived out there?
No. No one's ever told me about snow snakes before.
Oh, man.
No.
Yeah, they're very dangerous, and they strike they go by sound.
Sure.
And they're dangerous, because they're on you before they hear you, before you see them, and
before you know it.
They're very dangerous.
They've probably been all around here, and I just haven't noticed, Bill.
Oh, they have. Now, I didn't see any this last time, the snow. Yeah. I didn't see any, but we're supposed to get some more next week, and I think we're getting enough accumulated now that the snow snakes will come out.
Well, you know, as I just think about this now, it could have been the reason I haven't seen any is because I've been pre-medicated.
Well,
you know, I mean,
that could be, you may have something there.
I hadn't thought of that, but I should probably keep that up, right? I mean,
if you don't want to see them.
It's kind of like an inoculation to the whole thing.
An inoculation for the snow snakes.
Yes.
This is great stuff, guys. I got to tell you.
Did you have glacier worms around your place, Bill? Did you have them too?
No, I got sawmill worms.
Sawmill worms. Uh-huh. Glacier worms, I maybe are more of a northern thing.
They probably are.
Yeah, they like ice more than snow, you know.
Yeah, they're probably, that's what it is, yeah.
Oh, you guys have made my day today. That is awesome. No worms.
It goes right along with things like yellow snow and...
Oh, sure.
Don't ever eat any of that.
No, don't ever eat any of that.
Oh, that yellow snow will get you.
Yeah. And, writing your name in the snow with...
Writing your name in the snow, yeah.
Yeah. The yellow signature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't dot the I.
Can't dot the I.
When I had the store and had the restaurant and everything, I had a sign that said, "Eat here and get gas."
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I think I remember that sign, Bill.
You do remember that?
I think I do. I don't know, though, anymore. Some of it might just be my imagination. Can't sort it all out.
I liked you posting your bad checks up there on the big sign out by the road. That was my favorite part.
That was excellent.
Yeah, that was good. That was very good. Did you ever get anything out of those signs?
I got one.
Got one? Collected one of them?
One out of the, what, four?
Four, was it? Yeah, I remember seeing one.
There's one woman that supposedly was a nurse. She lied, but she lives up Greenwood.
Oh, well, no wonder.
Yeah. Out of towners.
She lived down here, but she moved back up to Greenwood.
Well, wow. Greenwood.
Mm-hmm. You only had four bad checks all those years, Bill?
No. Okay. Considerably more.
Yeah, I was going to say. But that's just what you had on the sign. Now,
that's so. What I had on the sign. Yeah.
I got it.
That was about the time you got fed up with it, I suppose.
Pretty much. And then, I don't know, there was a guy down there at, see, you got to watch what you do. I can't remember now. You can't put the amount up there or something. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. But there's a filling station down in Linton that done that. But he got sued because he put the amount on there.
Mm. Ah.
He put the name and the amount. Well, I didn't. I just put bad checks in the name, and I didn't put the amount.
Nobody sued you?
No. They can't touch you.
Ah. Yeah.
But if you put the amount on there somehow, out of the law, you know how laws are.
Yeah.
Yes.
They can get you.
Well. Wow. Did you happen to see that cartoon the other day about you go through the ice in your car while driving on the lake? This must have been up in Wisconsin. It says you're supposed to let your air, control your air so you don't get the bends on the way down. And while you're going to the bottom, look for walleye.
Yeah,
right.
Write down what depth they were and what they're feeding on.
Yeah. I did see that.
Yes, the walleye. The walleye and the sugeye and the sauger, which we went through last week. By the way, there was one more critter on that list of rules and regulations that the DNR put out, that something called the chorus frog, which I know that you've all heard, used to be in the summer, maybe in the spring, a real hard rain or overnight, and those chorus frogs would get out and they would wow, 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 and then other ones would join in and they'd change the rhythm of it. Those are almost disappeared in Indiana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They exist in the southeast part of the United States and some other places now, but not so much here, which is too bad, because I always thought that was one of the most amazing things. When I lived out in the woods by Whitehall, those frogs would start chorusing like that. It was just, you could basically couldn't hear anything else.
Now, are those different than spring peepers, Don?
Yeah, actually the things we call spring peepers are three or four different frogs.
Okay.
That all kind of get together at the same time, and make a lot of noise. And the chorus frogs live in trees generally, but maybe in a marsh too. So, but where I lived and heard them, they were in the trees. And, wow, wow, wow. Just unbelievable, really.
Yeah. Wow.
One of those that's neat things about living in the woods. Again. Yeah, it is. It is. And of course, the ruffed grouse is being declared as extinct in Indiana. Yeah. So they've been declared an endangered species a little late. But other than that, there was the muzzle loading change and a couple other things that were in that extremely long release from the DNR.
Did I see that they actually had taken a vote on the wetlands legislation?
Yes, I did see that. It passed the Senate, I guess, and was going to the House, which probably passed there, which will basically remove all wetlands regulation for the state of Indiana. until Biden reinstitutes the federal regulations.
Well, I wondered, the federal regulation surely will override that. And I had seen that the Biden administration was, in fact, contemplating making some changes to the wetlands rules. So,
Trump had removed them all.
Yeah.
So, I hope Joe gets on that before they drain them all.
Yeah.
That's what that woman senator who got elected there north of Indy, the Russian.
Yeah, the Ruski.
Yeah, Sparks, I believe.
Yeah.
Her name.
Sparks, yeah.
Yeah.
What she wanted to do was drain a wetland that was on their property so they could put in a 300 house subdivision. So this would allow her to do that. Unless Biden comes along, saves it. We'll see.
I was scared of her when she was running. I listened to her and she was hiding something. Yeah, and that's part of what she's hiding.
Sure it is. Oh,
she's a Russian. They all have something to hide.
It's a national trait.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Back door.
Yeah, she wasn't the right one for the job, that's for sure.
Well, they must have thought so up there. I think she lived in Noblesville or something.
Trump carried the state, and
yeah,
and it's a Republican state, so
yeah,
the Democrat didn't have much of a chance there. Leave politics out of it, she still wasn't, regardless of what her politics is, she still wasn't fit for that job.
I have to agree with you. Well, the businessmen and developers are probably going to love her.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know they will.
And that's the state of the play in Indiana. It's a state we live in, and we all know that it's a Republican state, with a few variations every 3 or 4 decades. See, Evan Bayh was our last Democrat governor, wasn't he?
Was it Bayh?
No. O'Bannon.
O'Bannon. He's the one that got the I-69 ball rolling.
Yeah.
So, he didn't help us much. O'Bannon. Yeah.
Well, that seems like a long time ago.
Yes, it sure does. And it was a long time
ago. It wasn't O'Bannon that got that started. That was O'Daniels.
No, O'Bannon actually kicked the ball by getting the first study done on it. And then Daniels came along and picked up the ball.
Of course, now this goes back years ago, too.
Yes, it does. Years ago.
Back in the 60s.
Yeah, I might be. That's probably right.
It is. Because I was commissioner and I was committee, and we met in Jasper on this I-69 deal.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in 65, 6.
So everybody's dream came true down in Jasper, except that the highway didn't go close enough to them. So they're going to build a new highway, a new interstate to go from Jasper out to I-69.
Right.
I'm sure they will.
Mm. Oh, they will eventually.
Yeah.
And they're talking about it.
It was bound to happen. I mean, 69 comes right up to the Indiana border, and then it starts again down to Kentucky. You knew at some point,
It'll end up being a toll road before it's over with.
Yeah, of course.
They were talking that early on, but managed to stop talking about it when they saw there was going to be a lot of opposition to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you notice how that ramps are and stuff, all they have to do is put up a booth.
Yep, a gate and a booth. It'll work.
A gate and a booth.
Yep.
It won't take long for me to go out and put up a gate and a booth and start collecting money.
That's right.
It'll look like the north side of Chicago.
Yep.
Well, the really unfortunate part about I-69, I don't care about Martinsville or all that prairie land up north, all those corporate farms. But this one slashed right through what I'd call the heart of southern Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes through the Hoosier National Forest. It goes through state forests. It goes through private forests. Yep. Just a swath of destruction.
Yep.
And covered the Indian Creek with mud.
Oh, that was a mess.
So the smallmouth bass can't spawn there anymore. So that'll be off the list as a fishing hole.
Right.
And every other stream along that interstate.
Well, a couple of those routes that they had that were alternate routes, I don't think they ever had any intention of doing. But some of those ones that went over to 231 and 41 looked like, you know, logical routes to me that would have taken a lot less money and disturbed a lot less dirt.
Yes, of course. That's what everybody was saying, but that's not the one they wanted because developers can't do anything with a highway that the land around it's already developed.
Of course.
They got virgin land around that I-69, you know.
Yes, they do.
And people willing to sell it for not too much money.
Yep.
Whereas if you go through 41, you know, you're going down through a bunch of towns over there.
Oh, for sure.
Hey, well, guys, I hate to say it, we're running out of time.
We
are. And I want to mention also that the cicadas are coming. So that's how long we've been on this show. 17 years ago was the last time it came through, and we had already been on the air for 2 years then. So, boys, time fly.
Yeah, Bill,
you going to fry some again this year, Bill?
Yes, sir. I'm going to make some good gravy.
Yeah.
Good gravy. Man.
We'll talk some more about that next week.
Well, them's nice. Oh, them's nice and crispy.
Oh, we'll have to get together for that.
Yeah, if you know how to cook them.
Okay.
Watch out for those snow snakes.
Yes.
Yeah, believe me, I am now.
Don't eat the snow.
Whenever you step out your back door, always look down at the step and make sure one ain't laying there.
I'm going to.
How's Asher?
We got to say, Don, I know you have always got a little something to say.
Well, I don't know, Jim, but they, you know, they, Jim,
here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane.
Those persimmon seeds of yours were sure right about the snow.
Yeah, they hardly ever lie.
Bells are ringing, children are singing, all is merry and bright. And Mama and her chief, and I and my cap, just settled our brains for a long winter night.
When you're out in the snow and stuff, you want to watch them snow snakes.
What size is the good size snow snake?
Small like a weasel.
He sprung to his sled, he took his teeny little whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a twistle thistle.
You ever tried riding one of those things?
No.
It's impossible. It can't be done.
Away to the window, I flew like a flash.
What do the snow snakes do to you if they catch you, Bill?
Bites you all over.
Hear those sleigh bells jingle.
Yeah, that's where you gotta have that medicine with you at all times.
As leaves that before the wild hurricane flew, when they met with an obstacle out into the sky.
So I might have had too much, Jax. I don't know, you know. You gotta have a little of that because these snow snakes,
yeah, glacier worms.
Oh, them snow snakes are dangerous.
Yeah.
And if you don't have some medicine to take when you see one, boy, you could die right now.
To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now, dash away, y'all. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for boys and girls. His eyes, how they twinkle. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose like a cherry.
What is that?
And then in a twinkle I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof.
I'm seeing them now and didn't see them before.
What were you seeing before, Bill?
Well, that's, you know, I'm wondering.
He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of chili.
That looked blurry to me. I don't know where old Jack had a hold of me or not.
Old Jack?
Yeah.
Jim Beam's brother?
Jim Beam's cousin. Uh-huh, yeah.
The moon on the breast of the new fallen snow would give a luster of metal that midday to objects below. Why, I can't even.
I wonder how many's involved in this. How many hundred? 50 or.
I've never seen too many of them around.
Well, I don't know.
He was chumpy.
I'm not a scientist.
Chumpy. He was chubby and plump. A right jelly old elf. And I laughed when I saw him.
That's amazing.
Good heavens to Betsy. My.
Be careful.
That wasn't very good there.
Holy infant, so tender and mild.
I told you I had new glasses.
Santa Claus knows we're all God's children. That makes everything right.
That's a good one to remember.
Oh, what a beautiful sight.
Old Saint Nick.
Peace on earth will come to all, and we just follow the light.
That's the power of love.
The power of love.
And it's the most powerful, force in the world.
It goes long ways. It sure does.
Around your virgin mother and child.
You can't have them bourbon bottles.
Can't have them bourbon bottles.
You don't have, that's right. If you don't have water.
That's right.
You can't
do anything if you don't have water.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
So jump in bed, cover up your head. Don't sign it all. Children were nestled all snug in their beds, while the sugar plums
and the decent weather in the
Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Went out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter. I sprung from my bed.
See you guys.
Hey, hey, take care. Have a good week.
Good you
to
too.
See you, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show.